Grace, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from the second book of Kings, and chapter 7, I read verses 1 and 2. 2 Kings 7, verses 1 and 2. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Then a lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." We also use the Heidelberg Catechism, as we have read from Lord's Day 50, question answer 125. And the theme for the sermon is to trust in God for our daily need. To trust in God for our daily need. Congregation, you might have seen it. Sometimes you see those pictures, isn't it, of situations of war or calamities, floods. People have to flee and they live for a time in the refugee camps and have a lack of food. Then they help those people, they bring food, a truck. They've loaded the truck with food and people can come and they can have a meal or a bag with food. And you see them standing there. They might stand in line, probably not. They all want to be the first one to stand in front, because imagine if the food would be finished and they wouldn't get food and they're so hungry. And if you watch their faces, you see the tension on their faces, the fear, the hunger. Oh, they're so eager to receive food. It's a matter of death or life, and hunger is such a sharp sword. And probably, I think, most of us don't know what it really means. We probably have not been in such a situation of, like those refugees, situation of war or earthquakes or floods, and yet you were starving, so hungry, that you really didn't know what to do, and you wondered if you would survive. You knew the pain of hunger. We probably don't know that, do we? We have so many privileges. Oh, if you think about the fact that we for a long time have lived in wealth, in prosperity, does it make sense to pray this fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Does it make any sense to us? Should we do that? And what does it mean to us? I mean, the table might be filled with food, and the refrigerator as well, and our closets, and the shops, the grocery shops, they are full with food. Why would we pray this prayer? "Give us this day our daily bread." And what does this prayer really mean? Well, we might bother about finances and to pay our monthly bills, but lack of food, not many of us have experienced that, did we? So, let's think about it. We do have to pray this prayer. The Lord Jesus has taught this as one of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer. And of course there's a purpose in it. And if you think about this prayer, the first thing we should see is that it is a very humble prayer, isn't it? So it's urging us to humility, to pray this prayer. Maybe that's why we might not feel that it makes sense to us, because pride fills our hearts. We are satisfied in many ways and don't really understand the need to pray this prayer. It's a very humble prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. So it's a confession, isn't it? This prayer is a confession. Lord, I cannot take care of it. Is that true? Can I not? I work hard and I'm smart and I have a good position. So why do you say I cannot take care of it? Because that's the truth. You cannot. You cannot. It's just a small thing that has to happen and your strength is gone. And your position is gone. You cannot work hard anymore. And you can lose everything. So it's God's providence. If you have what you need. And that's what we confess in this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. I cannot even take care for the bread of one day. Lord, I totally depend on Thee. Don't forget about that. Don't take it for granted, because you have not experienced that deep need like those people we see in pictures. Don't take it for granted that it will always be there, and certainly not that you deserve it, because that's not true. You don't deserve it any more than people in this world that suffer because of famine. We are not better, are we? We confess that we are all the same before a holy God. So God is not unjust, not unjust to them, and He wouldn't be to us if we would have lack of food, if we would starve. We are certainly not better. We don't deserve these things. And we cannot take care of these things. We deserve. What do we deserve? We deserve death because of sin. We deserve eternal death. So why would we not humble ourselves and pray this petition? Give us this day our daily bread. I do not deserve it, Lord. And I cannot provide for myself. So there you have two important reasons why we have to pray this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily. This day. It's a very humble prayer. It's like what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 34. Take no thought for the morrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So it's not only humble, but it's also a prayer of faith, isn't it? A prayer is a matter of faith. But you can hear it so clearly in this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, we depend on Thee. We trust in Thy providence. And Lord, also for the future. And I feel ashamed. I mean, when you think about this prayer, just to pray for today, is it wrong to pray for the future? No, that's not always wrong, but, you know, it is wrong when we bother about the future in a way as if there is not a God who could provide in the future. And so the Lord Jesus is teaching in this petition that we should pray for today. That's what we need, isn't it? And tomorrow pray for that day. A very humble prayer. Because what we like to fill our barn with bags of food so that we feel secure. And where do we trust in them? We trust in that barn full of food or bank account full of money. But the Lord wants us to trust in Him. So this is a very humble prayer of faith. Give us this day our daily bread. Do we understand that way of praying? That we have also that humility, that we will be satisfied if the Lord is providing today. Like the widow who had to take that bottle with oil, and then every day there was the test. Would there still be oil today? You remember in the Old Testament, the prophet? And then there was. There was, as long as it was needed. That's so against our nature. Is it wrong if we make provision also for the future? No, that's not wrong. I mean, Scripture is speaking about the ants, you know, who gather food also for the next season. But it's about the attitude. It's about the heart in it. It's about the trust in God for our daily need. Give us this day our daily bread. Yeah. To walk daily with the Lord. Isn't that a good life? There was a father who provided for his son in a certain situation, and he told his son, "You come every day and I give you what you need." And then his son said, "Well, why would you not give me for a week? Because then I don't have to come every day." And the father said, "Well, I want to see you every day." And so the Lord Jesus teaching his church this prayer, because the Lord wants us a life of prayer, daily prayer, depending on the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread? Well, why would we pray for bread only? I mean, I would like to have some meat and some delicious food and some other stuff as well. Yeah, so again, there's teaching in the fact that the Lord Jesus, using this word, bread. Bread is a word that is like a picture of the most basic need for life. Bread. And so the Lord Jesus is teaching us to pray for that, for what we really need. And yeah, many times we pray for much more, isn't it? And then we complain if the Lord is not providing the things we feel we would like to have as well. Can we not pray for everything, Pastor? Well, yeah, you can bring every need to the Lord, but there are many things that we don't need at all and that are not good for us at all. And so is God not wise then if He is providing in a way that we can live and not that we would waste it in a way and that it would bring us to despise the Lord and use it for the flesh in pride. So let's think about it. What is our desire? Maybe we want things which the Lord has not promised in His word and which would not be good for us. So bread, you could say, is a word that is like an illustration of all that we really need to live this physical life on earth. And yeah, so this prayer is teaching us to be satisfied. That's a very important word, satisfaction. It's a hard word for us. We can be so unsatisfied. We look to our neighbors and then we feel like, but they have much more than I have. And why is that so? But mostly we look in the wrong direction, because if we look to the other side, there are other neighbors and they have much less, and we don't ask them, why is that so, maybe. You know, we always want to have the best and want to have more. And that's not what Christ is teaching us. And also when you read in the letter of the Apostle Paul, the first letter to Timothy, it says in chapter 6, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So contentment. That if we have what we need for this life, why would we complain? And that's like showing a lack of trust in the Lord. Do we not believe that the Lord is wise and good in providing for us? Like children might be inclined to do, to complain, but my sister, my brother has more. You gave him or her more than you gave to me. And there's a lack of trust in it, and complaining about what God is providing in our lives. So what an important prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Is it wrong to try to have a better situation in this life? I'm not saying that. No, you are allowed to use your talents, your gifts. But again, what is the attitude of your heart? What would happen to you if the Lord would change the situation from abundance to just sufficient? Could you talk like Job did? The Lord has given and the Lord has taken. And could you also say what we read in the Psalms, that the Lord is my inheritance? And that, you know, to live close to the Lord is most important for you. I am not denying that it is very hard to be poor, to struggle in life. Let's not think easily about that. Yeah, that's a real trial. But it's also hard, if you have abundance, to stay close to the Lord. So what a good prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And the Catechism is giving us a wonderful teaching about it. When this question is asked, which is the fourth petition? Then it says, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. Be pleased, Lord, to provide us with all things. And listen well to this word, necessary for the body. So all things we need for this life on earth. That we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good. If you think about all things needed for the body, you can think about bread indeed, food. You can think about clothes. You can think about a place to live. Education. We should certainly think also about, you know, a place together under God's word, that the Lord would encourage us and strengthen us. And because I believe there's more that we could think about than just the things we can touch and see. I mean, to live this life on earth, we also need that the Lord will daily provide in energy, isn't it? In wisdom to live this life on earth. I mean, when you go to school, children, young people, or do your homeschooling, then how good it is when you start a day and pray that the Lord will provide this day in all you need. And that includes, He will help you, give you wisdom for your studies, and courage for the things you need to do as adults, your labors, your work. that's also a gift of God. When we have the insight, the wisdom, and the energy, the health, the ability to do our duties, give us this day our daily bread. Because it says here that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. So when we pray this prayer, we need that the Lord will bless all his gifts so that we will be able to do what he is calling us to do. It's a real acknowledging of our helplessness, our weakness. Do you feel now that it is so against our nature to pray this prayer? We are so inclined to think that we can help ourselves. I've done this job for many years now, for 10 years, for 15 years. I know what I'm doing. Why would I pray in the morning that the Lord will be with me to help me? I'm experienced and I've done it. I know what I have to do to make the right decisions. Yeah, that's our pride. That's our foolishness. No, we cannot help ourselves for one day. Give us this day our daily bread. Everything we need to live our life on earth in the calling in which God has called us to do the task and the duties as parents at home or in any occupation that you have. So a humble depending on God, to trust God for our daily need. It makes such a difference if we start our day with this humble attitude, depending on the Lord, that we lift up our hearts to him. You remember that illustration of the father that wanted to see his son daily? And that's what God wants. He wants to see us daily, to come before him. Children, young people, is that how you live, how you do your studies and your work? That you lift up your hearts to the Lord. And isn't that glorifying God? We are created for his glorious honor. And it's simply the truth. It's simply the truth that I cannot do what I'm called to do without the help of the Lord. I will be distracted. I will have a lack of insight, lack of wisdom. I will make the wrong decisions. I will not have the health. I will not have the courage to do what I have to do if God will not provide for me. So we pray. We pray, Lord, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, for everything that includes this life on earth, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good. So that's the purpose, to acknowledge God as the only fountain of all good, not one of the several fountains, you know. Yeah, I depend on myself, and if the Lord would help me a little bit, then I might make it. No, I acknowledge that God is the only fountain of all good. That's a different attitude. Without God, I cannot do anything. He is the only fountain of all good. What's a fountain? Did you ever see a fountain? It's bringing up water all the time. It never stops. And there's abundance. That's what God is. He is the only fountain of all good. Oh, that we would think about that. What a joy it would be in our hearts. God is the only fountain of all good. It would make us glorify God in our minds and would heal us from all sinful pride. If that's not how you live daily, Let's make a decision tonight before the Lord. Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me this humble prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And we are all ashamed, I believe. And there might have been times in your life, child of God, that you did it. But then you so easily forget about it. That's how we are. But oh, it's so good when you do that. When you depend on the Lord and on His providing. And when you confess that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. Yes, I have to work hard. I'm not denying that. You are called to use your talents, to study, to do what you can. But it cannot profit us without thy blessing. If the Lord will not bless our labors, then what is the fruit? I remember when I was in seminary, there were other students, and one of the students said, well, I really feel so sorry for the pastor in whose congregation I work now to get some experience, because this man is working so hard and he's not seeing fruit. And I asked the question, came up in my mind, I said, well, but he's working hard, which is good. But don't forget about the work of the Holy Spirit. The blessing of the Lord of your work. And that can also be such a relief. When you have done what you should do, that you know, but it is in the hands of the Lord. And that you can give it out of your own hands. That you wouldn't have to bear that burden yourself. As parents, or as office bearers, that you really depend on the Lord and that you wouldn't be anxious. If I'm not doing a perfect job, then the kingdom of God might fail. That is not true. It does not depend on you and me. Yes, we are called to do what we can do with all our might. At the same time, it's not on my shoulders to uphold the kingdom of God, to extend His kingdom. That is the work of God. It all depends on His blessing. And so it is with my labor. It all depends on the blessing of the Lord. Is it not saying in the Psalms that those whom He loves, He is giving it like in the sleep? You feel the difference? In vain you rise early and stay up late to build a house. But it's all in vain if the Lord will not bless it. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing? What does that mean? Thy gifts. Thy gifts, that must be good. It is good, but it has to be blessed to profit us. Can you explain that? Yeah, let me try to explain. I mean, if you look in this world around you, then you see people who do not care about God. They do not read the Bible, they do not go to church, they do not pray. Just indifferent about God. And still they have food. They have maybe a very nice house. Are these not gifts from God? They are. How good is God? That He is giving bread in mouths that curse Him? That's unbelievable. But all these gifts will not profit them without God's blessing. And they are not looking for that blessing. They do not acknowledge God. And so it will turn against them, isn't it? If they will not humbly learn to pray this prayer. If they will not withdraw their trust from all creatures, from self and from all men, and place it alone in thee. Place your trust alone in Thee. That's what you say when you pray this prayer. Lord, we totally depend on Thee. Are you really doing that? No trust in self. No trust in man. If that person who is so powerful and mighty is, you know, if I am in his or her favor, then I'm well off. Then I will do well. They will help me. No. Don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in God. He has all the power. And He is just and righteous. He will never fail. And He knows what you need. So what a deep prayer. And we have read this history from 2nd book of Kings, chapter 7. We see there a situation for the people of Israel. They are in a great need. What happened? Well, Syria came and they besieged that city of Samaria. And so there was no way that they could bring food into the city. And people got hungry, very hungry. And it became so bad. It became so bad that there was a mother. There were mothers who killed their child and were eating that child. It's unbelievable how deep his need was of hunger. And then this story was told to the king, and then the king became so angry. A godless king, and that's why the Lord brought this punishment, chastisement. This king became so angry, and he blamed the prophet, the servant of the Lord, Elisha. He said, well, and he was even making an oath, swearing an oath, that he would take the head of the prophet Elisha away, that he would kill the prophet, the servant of the Lord. He couldn't kill God. So his anger is burning against the servant of the Lord. And he says, today he will die. And he sends a messenger to go to Elisha. And then he's following himself and also enters the house of Elisha. But the Lord revealed it to Elisha. And the elders of the people were there. And Elisha told them what the king intended to do, to kill him. Then while the king is in his house, then Elisha is prophesying, bringing a word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel. So, shekel, that you could say more or less a normal price. A shekel is the wages, a little bit more of the wages of one day work. And that will happen here in the gate of Samaria. Oh, that's unbelievable. This is the promise of the Lord. This is what the Lord is speaking through the mouth of the prophet. So this is a clear illustration that nothing is impossible to God, and that the providing for our daily need is in the hands of the Lord. The Lord would do this miracle, turn or change the situation of hunger into a situation of abundance just in one day. That's unbelievable. That sounds like a miracle. Yeah, but God is in control. And God is doing miracles, isn't it? And we might not see it anymore. It was a miracle that God rained bread from heaven in the wilderness, manna, so that the people could eat. But isn't it a miracle when you look to the soil, and that dark soil, it's bursting open, you see a little green plant growing there. And it's growing and growing. Wow! How is this possible? There's something coming out of the soil, and it's giving fruit. We can use it to eat. We've seen it many times. That's normal. No, that's a miracle of God. I hope you see it. So, the provision of our daily need, that we have bread on our table, it is really and clearly the hand of God. That growing of that plant out of that little seed is as great a miracle as what Elisha is talking about here. Isn't that true? It's the power of God in creating life and plants and fruit so that we could live. It shouldn't be hard for us to pray this prayer in a very humble attitude. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 81, stanza 1 through 4. 81, stanza 1, how great the goodness kept in store for those who fear thee and adore. 81, all stanzas. congregation, this history is showing so clearly that the Lord has many ways to provide, even beyond our comprehension. And you might struggle maybe with your health. You might feel, I'm not strong enough to continue to do my work. And you don't know how that could be, how the Lord could provide for you. You might struggle in your business or with your occupation or with anything else in your life, and that you kind of doubt how the Lord could change this situation. But this history makes it so clear that the Lord has many ways to change any situation of need. If you read about these four men, while the city was besieged, there were four men. They were kind of locked in between the enemies, Syria, and the closed gates of the city. They were lepers, and they were so hungry, they were starving. And then they said, well, you know, if we stay here, we die. And if we could enter the city, we would die as well. So what shall we do? Well, let's go to the Syrians. They might be merciful and they might keep us alive. And so there they go. And otherwise we die. And when they came there, they found that there was nobody there. The tents were empty. And they found all the food left there. The food, the army, the soldiers had not taken the food. And so they started to eat. They were so hungry, and they went to the next tent and they were eating, and then they saw silver and gold and precious stuff and they were hiding it. They said, oh, that's not good. We should bring this glad tidings to the city. And that's what they did. And they brought this message to the city, and it was told the king, and but they said, well, let's be careful. It might be a trick, you know. It might be that they want us to come out of the city and they will attack us and we will be killed. So they were very careful. But then they decided to send two horses and men, messengers. Horses, just a few were left. And there they went to follow the way where the soldiers had gone. And when they looked, they saw, oh, there are clothes laying and there are weapons laying. It seems they were in a hurry. And they are really gone. They fled. That was true. What happened? Well, the soldiers, the army heard a noise. And they saw the Hittites and the Egyptians came. And they were hired by the king of Samaria, the king of Israel. And so they fled. And there it was. All the abundance of food for that big army, that great army. And the people came out of the city and they spoiled the tents. And they took all the spoil into the city. And then it was fulfilled what the prophet said. They sold just for more or less almost same normal price the food in the gates of Samaria. The word of the Lord happened. God had provided in food. And the king, he had charged the Lord over the situation in the gate, the Lord on whom he leaned. And that's the same man that mocked when the prophet said that there would be food in abundance in the gate of Samaria. There was a Lord, a servant of the king. He mocked the man of God. If the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And the prophet said, you will see it. You will see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat thereof. And so this man is in charge of the gate, but it's so busy there, and the people want to buy food, and they tread on him, and they walk over him in the pressure of the multitude, and this Lord is dying. That word of the Lord is fulfilled in the life of this man as well. He died. That's horrible to think about. He saw the food. Before he could eat of it, he died. Like the prophet has spoken. He mocked the word of the Lord. He didn't acknowledge that God, the Almighty God, would be able to do this. The sin of unbelief, but also mocking with God and his words spoken by his servant. He died. So, isn't this a powerful illustration of the need of this prayer, that that would not be happening in our lives? When we pray this, the Catechism says that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. If God says this will happen, then it will happen, because He is the only fountain of all good. Oh, that that humble attitude would be in our hearts, in all things we need in this life, that we beseech the Lord and acknowledge that He is the only one that can provide. But also, very important, that we so much depend on His blessing. So important that we see that if the Lord would not bless His gifts, then you can have a wealthy life on earth. You might be like this Lord who saw the miracle, the abundance, but it didn't profit him. It might be that you enjoy all the gifts of God in this life, that the Lord is providing in bread and everything we need to live a good life on earth. But is it blessed in your life? And that's the question. And when is it blessed? When is it blessed? If the goodness of the Lord is leading us to conversion, when will we really acknowledge God in it? If we see that these things that we receive, we don't deserve them, but they come from God as from a fountain of good. I'm not worthy, Lord, of all these gifts that I receive. So do we have that attitude? Do we see that if God would do to us according to our sins, that we deserve His eternal punishment, and then to lift up our eyes to see Christ? He is the living bread that came from heaven, and He is the one who took the punishment upon Himself. And when I see that, when I believe that that was the punishment that I should receive because of my sins, then there will be that acknowledgement of God in my life, that I do not deserve all these things. Yes, I worked hard for it, and I've used my talents, but Lord, it's Thy gift. And then there will be that blessing in my life, because then these things will lead me to conversion. Then I will, the more I see the goodness of God in all the things I receive, I will turn away from sin and from my old sinful life and turn to the Lord. And then those gifts are blessed. You understand that? You see that? That is the blessing of the Lord that we need. All these gifts will not profit us without His blessing. If we live a good life on earth and have not lack of food and all the daily things that we use to live on earth, if we have the health, the courage, the strength, the insight, the wisdom to do everything we have to do, but we do not acknowledge God, it doesn't bring us to the Lord, and we die without Christ, what did it profit us? It was not blessed in our lives. It was just hardening us. It was making us more pride and self-sufficient. And then this short life on earth is over, and we have lost our souls for all eternity. Do you see that we need to pray this prayer? Lord, bless this food, so that it will be profitable to us, that it will be beneficial to me, For this life? Yes, for this life as well. I remember as a missionary in China, and he went to the food market and he saw the meat hanging there in the sun and the flies on it, and yeah, what could he do? He needed to eat, so he bought food. But he said, then I learned to pray, Lord, bless this food. So we need a blessing for the food, for the things that they will be beneficial in a, for our physical life, but also that they will be a blessing in a way that it would not harden us, would not turn us away from God, but be used to convert, to repent, to look to Christ. That, don't we pray that? That we wouldn't be satisfied with this food, but that we will seek spiritual food for our souls. That we will seek to know Christ. That's what we need to pray. Lord, bless this food in such a way that we will get to know Thee in Christ as my Savior. And then it will be an eternal blessing. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we come before Thee. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy word which Thou hast given. Teach us to pray. O Lord, what a responsibility it is to receive Thy gifts. And we are so inclined to use it for the flesh or to waste it in a carnal way. But Lord, that we would use it in gratitude and not spoil it, but use it for Thy glory and for the benefit of our souls to live our lives on earth, that we may have the strength, the energy, the everything we need, so that we will live a life to Thy glory. And Lord, we feel ashamed because that's not a fruit of our hearts. But we pray for forgiveness and also for a change of heart and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy word. And we pray that Thou would bless also the youth group when they gather to sing, Lord, and bless the word to the hearts when it will be opened, and we pray together. Lord, keep us when we go home on the dangerous roads, and that Thou would help us in our daily labors, Lord, and that we may depend on Thee every day in true humbleness, so that Thou would be exalted and Christ would be exalted in this world. Lord, we pray, hear us. In the forgiveness of our sins, help us, keep us also in traveling this week, Lord. Those that have to travel longer or shorter distances, we thank Thee that some young people can be in our midst, young adults that live at a distance for study and work, and also, Lord, we pray for those that cannot be here because of they are in the military, that Thou would help them as well, Lord. That Thou would protect and keep, and that Thou would work in all hearts for Thy name's sake. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.